ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, entitled the Hamsa Guhya Prayers, text number 32. Asti iti nasti iti cha vastu nishthayo.
Asti iti nasti iti cha vastu nishthayo.
Ekastayo bhinna viruddha dharmano. अवेक्षितं किंचन योग सांख्ययो समं परं ज्ञानगोल बृहत्। अस्ति इति नास्ति इति च वस्तुनिष्ठयो। एकस्तयो भिन्न विरुद्ध धर्मनो। अवेक्षितं किंचन योग सांख्ययो। समं परं ज्ञानगोलं बृहत्। अस्ति इति नास्ति इति च वस्तुनिष्ठयो। एकस्तयो भिन्न विरुद्ध धर्मणः। अवेक्षितं किंचन योग सांख्ययो। समं परं ह्यनुकूलं बृहत्। अस्ति इति नास्ति इति च वस्तुनिष्ठयो। एकस्तयो भिन्न विरुद्ध धर्मनो। अवेक्षितं किंचन योग सांख्ययो। समं परं ह्यनुकूलं बृहत्। अस्ति देयर इज इति दस ना नॉट अस्ति देयर इज इति दस च एंड वस्तुनिष्ठयोः प्रोफेसिंग नॉलेज ऑफ द अल्टीमेट कॉज। एकस्तयोः विथ वन एंड द सेम सब्जेक्ट मैटर एस्टैब्लिशिंग ब्रह्मन भिन्न डेमोन्स्ट्रेटिंग डिफरेंट विरुद्ध धर्मनोः एंड अपोजिंग कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स। अवेक्षितं परसीव किंचन दैट समथिंग विच योग सांख्योः ऑफ मिस्टिक योगा एंड द सांख्या फिलोसफी एनालिसिस ऑफ द वेज ऑफ नेचर। Samam, the same. Param, transcendental. He, indeed. Anukulam, dwelling place. Brihattat, that ultimate cause. There are two parties, namely the theists and the atheists. The theists, who accept the super soul, finds the spiritual cause through mystic yoga. The Sankhya, however, who merely analyzes the material elements, come to a conclusion of impersonalism and does not accept a supreme cause, whether Bhagavan, Paramatma, or even Brahman. Instead, he is preoccupied with the superfluous external activities of material nature. Ultimately, however, both parties demonstrate the absolute truth because although they offer opposing statements, the object is the same ultimate cause. They are both approaching the same Supreme Brahman, to whom I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's a long purport and it is philosophical, so we have to hear carefully. Actually, there are two sides to this argument. Some say that the Absolute has no form, nirakar. And others say that the Absolute has a form, sakara. Therefore, the word form is the common factor. Although some accepted asti or astika, whereas others try to negate it, nasti or nastika. Since the devotee considers the word form, akara, the common factor for both, he offers his respectful obeisances to the form. Although others may go on arguing about whether the Absolute has a form or not. So here the statement is about whether the Supreme Lord has a form or not. Whether he is sakar or nirakar. He has got an akara or not. The Prabhupada is making the point, essentially, people do argue whether the Lord has a form or not, but the common factor in form and formlessness is the word form. So devotees pay obeisances unto the form of the Supreme Lord. So it's a very interesting logic. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. In this verse, the word yoga sankhyoho is very important. Yoga means bhakti yoga, because yogis also accept the existence of all pervading Supreme Soul and try to see the Supreme Soul within their hearts. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12:31, dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. The devotee tries to come directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the yogis try to find the Super Soul within the heart by meditation. Thus, both directly and indirectly, yoga means bhakti yoga. Sankhya, however, means physical study of the cosmic situation through speculative knowledge. This is generally known as jnana shastra. The Sankhyas are attached to the impersonal Brahman, but the absolute truth is known in three ways. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyate. The absolute truth is one, but some accept him as impersonal Brahman, some as a super soul existing everywhere, and some as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The central point is the absolute truth. So who can say what are the main points in this paragraph? Yeah, one point. Existence. Which form? He exists everywhere in one sense?
Paramatma
form. As the Paramatma, the Lord exists everywhere. So that is the nature of a yogi. Dhyana vastita tadgadayana manasa paschindi yam yoginaha. In the meditative posture, they can see the Supreme Lord everywhere in trance. So dhyana vastita. They can see the Lord everywhere. And primarily how? Within their own heart. So that is one. Then, here there are two words which are mentioned. What are they? What is this purport about? Purport is about two words. About two yogas. What are they? Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So here, Sankhya Yoga Yoho is mentioned. So Sankhya is explained and Yoga is mentioned. So yoga is referring to bhakti yoga. If you mention yoga directly, then that is bhakti yoga. And if it is indirectly, which is? No, it's not sankhya. Indirectly, which yoga is it? That is the one who is meditating on the super soul. That is the indirect one. Yogis try to find the super soul within the heart by meditation. So that is one level. But indirectly. And indirectly yoga means bhakti yoga. Ultimately, two approaches are mentioned here. Yoga is referring to the yoga which are performed by the yogis, Ashtanga yoga, and also that by bhakti yogis, bhakti yoga. Both are referred to as yoga, but the ultimate meaning, directly and indirectly, is referring to bhakti yoga. And Samkhya yoga is, what is Samkhya yoga? Analytical study. So, two yogas are mentioned here. Now, let's see. Although, so again I'll ask questions, so everyone careful with your long purport, I will forget. What was in the first purport? So, see, first paragraph? Again, two words. Akara and Nirakara. And here, again two words. Samkhya and yoga. So in this way, if you look at the end, everyone can say what is in the purport. Not difficult. Third paragraph. Next I will ask you once, okay? Here. Although the impersonalists and the personalists fight with one another, they focus upon the same Param Brahman, Param Brahma, the same absolute truth. In the Yoga Sutras, Krishna is described as follows. Krishnam Pishanga Ambaram Ambujekshanam Chadurbhujam Shangha Gadadi Udayudham. Thus the pleasing appearance of the Supreme Personality of God, his bodily features, his limbs and his dress are described. The Sankhya Shastra, however, denies the existence of the Lord's transcendental form. The Sankhya Shastra says that the Supreme Absolute Truth has no hands, no legs, no name. He anamarupam gunapanipadam achakshur ashrotram ekam advitiyam api nama rubadigam nasti. The Vedic mantra says apanipato javano grihita. The Supreme Lord has no legs and hands, but he can accept whatever is offered to him. Actually, such statements accept that the Supreme has hands and legs, but deny that he has material hands and legs. This is why the Absolute is called Aprakrita. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has Sachidananda Vigraha, a form of eternity, knowledge and bliss, not a material form. The Sankhyas or the Jnanis deny the material form, and the devotees also know very well that the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, has no material form. Okay, let's deal with this. Again, here what is the essential point here? Okay, one person. What is that, Lord?
God has no material form.
Okay, one. That is the conclusion.
Yoga Shastra and
Sankhya. See, yes. Sankhya and Yoga state completely opposing statements. So Bhakti Yoga says that the Lord has form, Lord is wearing yellow garments, he has a beautiful form, he has shankha, he has this chakra, shankha is a conch shell, chakra, gada, etc. He has his weapons, he has his paraphernalia, he has a form, he has dress, he is all beautiful, that we say. And at the same time, Sankhya is telling, what is Sankhya is telling?
Sankhya is telling that Lord has no legs, no hands, no legs.
Exactly. It says, the Lord doesn't have any form. He has no leg, no hand, etc. No eyes, no ears. Can you see completely contradicting statements? So here, the Bhakti viewpoint is, okay, when it is mentioned that Apani Pado Javano Grihita Pashyatya Chakshu Sashrunotya Karna. This is a statement from Upanishad that Apanipado, he doesn't have any hands or legs, but Javano Grihita. But if he offers something, he accepts. Pashyatya Chakshu, he sees even though he doesn't have any eyes. Shrunotya Karna, he hears everything even though he doesn't have any ears. Why such statements are given? Because it is to indicate that the Lord doesn't have any material form, Lord doesn't have any material eyes, no material ears, no material hands, nor material legs. To prove that, such statements are given. Clear? Okay. Now we'll read further the purport. Ishara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiravir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is a supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The conception of the absolute without hands and legs and the conception of the absolute with hands and legs are apparently contradictory, but they both coincide with the same truth about the supreme absolute person. Therefore, the word vastu nishthayoho, which is used herein, indicates that both the yogis and sankhyas have the faith in the reality, but are arguing about it from the different viewpoints of material and spiritual identities. Parabrahman and Brihat is the common point. The sankhyas and the yogis are both situated in the same Brahman, but they differ because of different angles of vision. Okay, who can tell the essence of it? Can you try what is mentioned here? Or is it too much? Okay, it's a little difficult. Who can tell what's mentioned here? What is the essential point of this paragraph? Yes.
They both agree, converge at the point that there is one Param Brahman, but the point of view is different. The approach is different, ascending process and descending process.
Yes, one is ascending, another is descending. Process is different, and also their viewpoint is also different. What aspect of Param Brahman they approach, that is also different. So viewpoint is different, yes, process is also different. The direction given by the Bhakti Shastra points one in the perfect direction, because the Supreme Personality of God, it says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktiya Mam Abhijanati. Only by devotion service am I to be known. The bhaktas know that the Supreme Person has no material form, whereas the jnanis simply deny the material form. One should therefore take shelter of the bhakti marga, the path of devotion. Then everything will be clear. Jnanis concentrate on the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord. This is a good system in the beginning for those who are extremely materialistic, but there is no need to think continuously of the Virat Rupa. When Arjuna was shown the Virat Rupa of Krishna, he saw it, but he did not want to see it perpetually. He therefore requested the Lord to return to his original form as two-armed Krishna. In conclusion, learned scholars find no contradiction in the devotee's concentration upon the spiritual form of the Lord, Ishara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says that less intelligent non-devotees think that the conclusion is the ultimate, but because devotees are completely learned, they can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. So what is the process by which we can understand the Supreme completely? Bhakti Mark. So the recommendation is, come to the Bhakti Mark and understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we have a very wonderful purport, and I will explain this as far as I can. And here, please try to understand why such a topic exists in this Hamsa Guhya prayer. This is a theme we can find throughout in Vedic literature. And such a theme may sound irrelevant to the current context, but this theme is very relevant as it is in the Vedic context. Why? Because there are prominent divisions among followers of Vedic scriptures. So there are different established philosophies within the purview of Vedic realm. So Vedic literatures are there, and within the Vedic literature there are many philosophies coexist. And the interesting aspect of these philosophies is that they do follow these philosophies and they live according to these philosophies. So it is not just a belief system, or it is my opinion. It is not just like that. They do live according to this philosophy. So that is the prime difference between the Western philosophy and yogic philosophy. So if you are representing one philosophy, you have to live up to it. You have to demonstrate that in your own life. You cannot just say, I propose such and such philosophy. It doesn't hold. So one has to live what one is talking. So this is Vedic philosophy. And since always there is a debate among different philosophical personalities, it has to be clarified. We can find in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter itself, Krishna makes it clear. Lokesmin duvidha vidya pura prokta mayanakha. There are two kinds of nishtha, there are two kinds of understanding, and people who fixed in these philosophies from time immemorial. One is jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Again, referring to Sankhya and Yoga. Sankhya and Bhakti Yoga. That clear distinction is given even by Krishna. Again, it comes to the same conclusion. Similarly, in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita also the same point is mentioned. That Sankhya Yoga Prithak Bala Pravadanti Na Panditaha. So, Pandit, those who does not know the philosophy properly, they say that Sankhya and Yoga are completely different. But one who knows, they understand that both are same. They give the same bhalam, mildade bhalam. They both give the same result. So we can see that this philosophical argument does exist in different scriptures, including Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna makes it clear. And then we can go on, try to understand a little bit further about these viewpoints. So what is the position of the Sankhyas? Their position is that they accept the impersonal Brahman. However, if you read the translation, you can see that in the beginning, Sankhya Yoga, in the analytical study of matter, they don't even accept a supreme cause. They don't even accept Brahman, as it is mentioned here. They don't accept Bhagavan, Paramatma or Brahman. So that is the atheistic region of Sankhya philosophy. However, when they progress their search, when they analyze further, they understand that there is something beyond this material element. And that is first the soul, and then they can understand at least there is impersonal Brahman. So that's why the two aspects are mentioned in the purport. The atheistic arpan aspect and the theistic aspect. Both are present. So a Sankhya Yogi who is established knows that there is Brahman. So they do accept that. So that is the, so the argument of astiti nastiti is coming for whom? The astiti nastiti is coming for the theist and the atheist. So that is the initial search of a Sankhya Yogi. He doesn't know that there is the soul or the super soul, or they don't even know Brahman. So they say that they are nastiti. That is, they are nastikas. There is no God practically. And then they become astikas. That astikas, they know that there is God. So that is the end of the analytical search of material elements. So this is the second level of Sankhyas. So this is the position of Sankhyas who believe in the, or they are followers of Jnana Shastras. And whereas devotees, they know that if you say form or formless, the common word is form, and they do pay respect to the form of the Lord. And that's what we are doing here. So you can see, we don't get into this argument. Rather, we try to go beyond contradictions. Now, the essential question comes, why such contradictions exist in the Vedic literature? So today's class, we will focus on this point. Why such contradictions exist in Vedic literature? On one side, it very clearly mentions about the personal form of the Lord, as it is given here. Krishnam, Pishangambaram, Ambujayakshanam, Chadurbhujam, Shankhadi, Udhyayudham. So he has all his personal features. And on the other side is mentioned, there is no hand, there is no leg, etc. So first of all, we can ask this question, why confuse people? First of all, we have difficulty understanding Vedic literature. So why confuse people by presenting contradictory statements? Rather, why not present everything very clearly? That Krishna has a form, he is wearing yellow garment, he has peacock feather, etc. And why say exactly the opposite? We can go through this point. Point number one, the contradictions show that the Supreme Lord is beyond material logic. It is a very important point. We cannot understand Krishna simply by our rational. He is beyond that. To show that, it is mentioned the Lord can handle contradictions. Even though there are opposing statements, the Lord can handle it. Lord can reconcile contradictions because He is beyond material logic. In material logic, one is right and one is wrong. We cannot do anything. But right and wrong cannot coexist. Or black and white cannot coexist. Or light and darkness cannot coexist. But in Krishna, that can coexist. And so to show that, okay, it is mentioned in statements which are apparently contradictory. Second, that or part of the same point is that the Lord is beyond matter. So He is beyond material logic and He is beyond matter. Since He is beyond matter, He can handle material contradictions. So they are not spiritual contradictions, but they are material contradictions. That's the reason if you read Sri Ishopanishad, verse 5, it is mentioned very clearly. The Lord walks, but He doesn't walk. He is in one place, but He is everywhere. He is sitting in one place, but He controls everyone. So why such statements are presented? To show that He is beyond material logic and He is not made of matter. Second, so the first point is, please understand that the Absolute is beyond matter and is beyond material logic and reasoning. And to demonstrate, Vedic literature uses such kind of language for description. Second point is very important, which is this sophisticated presentation of Vedic knowledge will filter out unqualified people. Okay, so it is a very sophisticated presentation to filter out people and to present certain kind of knowledge to certain kind of audience according to their qualification. The same literature is given to everyone, but according to your qualification, you will understand certain points and you don't have access to certain other points. Can you see? This is called the open secret. Bhagavad Gita is open secret. For thousands of years, Bhagavad Gita was present, but if you see, as Srila Prabhupada says, 500 commentaries of Bhagavad Gita were written in English language. But none of them presented Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. None of them presented bhakti as the process to know Krishna. So can you see? So according to your bhakti level, according to your spiritual qualification, you get certain access to the same literature. So this is Vedic sophistication. So it acts as a filter. And I'll explain how it works again. If somebody is very materialistic, if such a person reads such contradictory statements, what happens to them? They lose their faith. Right? They lose their faith. See, this Vedic literature is all about contradictions. I don't want to follow. Because his or her consciousness is predominated by material conceptions and want to enjoy the senses. So they go away from Krishna. They go away from the Supreme Lord. In fact, Britishers used this to create problems within Indians. They appointed, British East India Company appointed Max Muller to translate Rig Veda. He was the first one, German scholar, Sanskritist. Max Müller was the first one to translate Rig Veda to English. And purposefully, he translated in such a way that there are more contradictions and it is more less meaningful to any sane person. So in that way, the British wanted to show first to the Europeans that these Vedic literatures are useless. So they employed Max Müller and he was paid heftily to do this task. So the same literature was used to create disbelief in people. At the same time, those who have some amount of faith, what will happen to them? They will be able to understand the first level. So the first filter is, those who doesn't have faith, they go away. And the second filter is, they can understand that there is something beyond the material nature and that is Atma or the spirit soul. They have that much access, but they don't have any access beyond that. Karma Gandhis, demigod worshippers, and general spiritualists, logicians, those who have some faith, they can understand that there is something beyond matter. We are not just this body or mind, but there is a witness to the changes of body and the mind. So that is the next filter. So they are qualified to go beyond atheism. They are qualified to go beyond matter, but they are stuck in the understanding of the soul. Srila Prabhupada explains that by logic one can come up to the understanding of Atma and maybe the source of it, Brahman, and that's it. So Socrates was an example for that. Socrates, he could understand there was Atma. That's why he was given the poison hemlock. When he was given the poison hemlock, he said, I will take this poison, no problem, because you cannot kill me. If you can catch me, you can kill me. The Prabhupada said yes, this shows that he knows about the soul. So he took hemlock, the poison. And he died, but that is, he understood it's just the body, not himself. So by logic and reasoning, one can come up to the point of soul. So that is the next filter. So Vedic literature, those who have some more faith, they can understand, okay, there is something beyond matter. Still, they cannot go beyond. And we can see many of the spiritualists in this world, many of them do know that there is something beyond matter, but they don't know anything beyond. Okay, they know that there is soul or the spiritual self, but they cannot go anything further. If they read Vedic literature, many of them think that the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is nothing but imagination or fantasies. So, because the lack of faith is blocking them. So, Vedic literature blocks them. And there is the next level, which is they know that there is Brahman, there is that impersonal absolute truth. So they can go beyond the spiritual self, they can understand there is source of the spiritual self, which is spiritual, and that is Brahman, as it is mentioned in Brahat, that is Param Brahman. So there is the impersonal truth, which is nothing but the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the next catch. So in this Vedic followers, many of them are caught up with this idea of impersonal Brahman. Many jnanis and yogis. And if you go further, they are the yogis who know that is Paramatma. So what is the source of impersonal Brahman, which is effulgent and which is present everywhere? That is the Paramatma, Andandarastam Paramanu Chayandarastam. He is present as Paramatma within the heart of everyone, within the Adam, in between the Adam. He is present everywhere in the form of super soul. So the source of effulgence, impersonal Brahman, is the all-pervading super soul. But the super soul has a personality. That is mentioned here, as the Chaturbhuja has four arms, standing up as Shankha Chakra Gada Patma. So that is the super soul. And one who has complete faith can understand there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So according to the level of faith, one gets deeper and deeper understanding of the Supreme. So in this way, the contradictions in the Vedic literatures act as a filter. And right audience will get right access to the right knowledge. Why is it done? So the Lord himself explains this. This is a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is done purposefully. It is according to the knowledge of the Lord. So the Lord Himself says, Veda Brahmatma Vishaya Trikanda Vishaya Ime, that is connected. Then Parokshavada Rusheha Paroksham Mamacha Priya. So it is mentioned Parokshavada Rusheha Paroksham Mamacha Priya. There is Pratyaksha and Paroksha. Two words are there. Pratyaksha means direct and Paroksha means indirect. So it is mentioned Parokshavada Rusheha. The sages are Parokshavada. Means they tell things indirectly. They don't tell directly. They present things indirectly. And then the Lord, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava, the Lord is telling, Paroksham Mamacha Priyam. Paroksham Mamacha Priyam. I like indirect statements. The Lord says, I like indirect statements. And the purport is explained why He likes indirect statements. The reason is, one may ask why the Lord Himself, as well as the Lord's representatives, the Vedic seers and mantras speak in esoteric or indirect terms. As the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, the Supreme Lord does not allow Himself to be taken cheaply. And thus, He is not manifest to superficial or inimical people. Those who are polluted by the material atmosphere are induced to purify themselves through Vedic rituals that offer fruity results. Just as a child is induced to take medicine by the offer of a candy reward. Because of the confidential nature of Vedic exposition, less intelligent persons cannot appreciate the ultimate transcendental purpose of the Vedas, and consequently they fall down to the platform of sense gratification. So the Lord wants to filter out who is unqualified. That's all. So here we can see the mercy of the Lord's pure representatives like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wants to reconcile the contradictions and wants to present the ultimate truth. In that way, even those who are Mayavadis, if they read Srila Prabhupada's books, they can see there is logic and reasoning by which we can understand why the Lord is simultaneously personal and impersonal. So it both exist in the Supreme Lord. So this is very important point for us to understand. And on the third level, so on the first level, the contradictions help to understand that the Lord is beyond matter and material logic. Second, it acts as a filter, and on the third level, it helps for devotees to go deeper in their realization. With a deeper realization, one can resolve this contradiction. So Rupa Goswami mentions this point in Lakhu Bhagavatamrita. He analyzes this point. If you find contradictions in Vedic literatures, what to do? So his point is, if you see contradictions, one shouldn't just argue for one statement. So I like this statement. The Lord is impersonal, doesn't have a form. So I argue for that. Or the other statement, the Lord has a form, just argue for that. No, Rupa Goswami says that if there are contradictory statements in the Vedic literatures, one should know that both are true. One has to accept both. Then, if one wants to explain, one has to deepen one realization. One has to go deeper in bhakti. Then, these contradictions get resolved. And Srila Prabhupada has already resolved this contradiction, and that way he is presenting, and now it is for us very easy to understand. When we hear that the Lord has both form and He is impersonal and He is formless, how can we understand? He has a form because we know He has a form. There is a description of Krishna with all the form. And how can we say He doesn't have a form? The statements that Apanipado, Javano, Grahita, Pashyatya, Chakshu, Sachranotya, Karna, such statements are to show that He doesn't have a material form. Apani, no hands, means He doesn't have a material hand, but He has a spiritual hand. Apada, He doesn't have a leg, but He has spiritual leg. And that's why the verse is quoted, Krishna's form is not made of matter, rather it is made of spiritual form. That is Satchidananda Vigraha. Sat, Chit and Ananda. Krishna's form is made of eternality, bliss and knowledge. So in that way, these contradictions are resolved in Krishna. So if you understand that, then there is not much problem. So the pure devotee can actually resolve the contradictions. And if you see Krishna's pastimes are great examples of Krishna resolving all these contradictions. If you see Brahma Vimohana Leela, we can see Brahma saw unlimited cows and cowherd boys are none other than four-handed Narayan forms, and all these forms are emanating from the body of Krishna. Can you see? So Krishna is sitting there, but he could see he is expanding in unlimited Narayan forms. In one sense it's contradictory that Krishna is in one place, but how his expansions can be everywhere. He just contradicts. He resolved the contradiction. He showed to his pure devotee. Same, Narada Muni, he wanted to see Krishna. He went to Dwaraka. What happened? He has 16,108 wives and that many palaces. So he went to one palace. He saw Krishna playing with his kids. So Krishna, and as soon as Krishna saw Narada Muni, he invited him, offered a seat, washed his feet, spoke some nice words, etc. And then Narada Muni thought, okay, it must be the same Krishna in the next palace. He went to the next palace. Now Krishna was doing something else. And immediately Krishna met Narada Muni in surprise. Oh great sage, you have come to my palace. Please sit here. So Narada Muni started going to different palaces and he started seeing Krishna doing different activities. So this is Krishna is showing that he can show inconceivable things. He is inconceivable to material logic and reasoning. So Krishna can do anything. So if we accept the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord, then we can understand that contradictions can be resolved in Krishna. There is this wonderful pastime in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna left Vrindavan and he killed Kamsa. After that, if you see, Krishna promised his devotees in Vrindavan that he would return. It is mentioned as Krishna was going, the gopis were crying. And Krishna sent many messengers as he was moving in chariot to the gopis. They were carrying the message that Krishna is going to come soon. In a few days, Krishna is going to return from Madhura. So Krishna promised his devotees that he would return from Madhura. And indeed, he killed Kamsa. He met Vasudev and Devaki, his father and mother. And they are meeting Krishna after many years. Indeed, they never had association of Krishna other than that birth time. That's it. And they were longing for the association of Krishna. Krishna wanted to stay with Vasudev and Devaki. And Vasudev and Devaki cannot bear any more separation from Krishna. Because they lived without Krishna for many years, about 12 years. And then now they cannot stand separation from Krishna. They cannot keep their life together if they are separated from Krishna. So that is the position of Vasudev and Devaki. Same time, Krishna met Vasudev and Devaki. He pacified them. He invoked in them maternal and paternal affection for him. And he said, okay, I will live with you. So on one side, Krishna has already promised Vrajavasis, including the topmost gopis, that Krishna would return. And now he is promising Vasudev and Devaki that I am going to stay with you. After meeting Vasudev and Devaki, privately Krishna met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. They also came from Vrindavan. And he spoke to Nanda and Yashoda, his father and mother again, and told that, I will come with you. I will come with you. So can you see, Krishna already promised Vrajavasis he would return in a few days. And now he has promised Vasudeva and Devaki that I am going to stay with you. And it's just a matter of time. Privately he promised Nanda and Yashoda that I am going to come with you to Vrindavan. So one can see contradiction. So those who do not know, they say that Krishna didn't fulfill the promise of the Vrajavasis. He didn't fulfill the promise of Nanda and Yashoda. He just stayed in Madhura for Vasudeva and Devaki. So here is a very interesting conversation present. Why Krishna had to stay in Madhura? One, they had to perform for Vasudeva and Devaki. Second, they had to perform purificatory rites for Krishna and Balaram. Because Vasudeva and Devaki know that they are Kshatriyas, so they had to get the sacred thread. So all these purificatory rites they had to do. Second, he is a Kshatriya, he has to be educated. So for some education, they had to make some arrangements. And so they had to stay in Madhura. Not only that, Krishna knew that if Krishna leaves Madhura, Jarasandha and others, they would attack Madhura. So his parents and other residents of Madhura will be greatly disturbed by the attack of these demons. He knew, I have to stay here. Not only that, if these demons attack Madhura, eventually they will attack Vrindavan. So even the residents of Vrindavan will also get affected to some degree. So Krishna knew that he has to stay in Madhura. So it is mentioned, Krishna indeed went to Vrindavan as he promised, and at the same time he stayed in Madhura. So Krishna is present in Vrindavan all the time in his bhava expansion. So that is mentioned. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. So if you try to understand Krishna's pastimes, we can see Krishna can easily resolve any contradictions. Whoever he has promised to, he can fulfill that promise. So one who is not trained in Shastras sees that Krishna is making someone's promise and breaking someone else's promise, which is not true. But Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activities and his form are showing that Krishna can't handle contradictions. So from here we can see that, in conclusion, we can see that yes, the Lord has form and he is formless. So those who are arguing, ultimately they are arguing about the same thing. Both are arguing about Krishna, but they have different perceptions. As Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a mountain. If you see a mountain from a great distance, it is just a hazy color. You cannot even see the form of the mountain. But if you go closer to the mountain, you can see the form of the mountain clearly. And if you are on top of the mountain, you can see that people are living in the mountain. There are animals, caves, stone, etc. You can see everything very vividly. So these are three different perceptions of the same mountain, but with greater and greater details. Similarly, these three conceptions, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan, iti Shabdate, the Supreme as the impersonal Brahman, that is also Advaita. It is also true, but from a distance. So they say that the Lord doesn't have a form. However, if you go closer, more closer understanding of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Brahman, is as Paramatma, as a super soul situated in everyone's heart, within the atom and without the atom. So that is super soul Paramatma. And if you understand even further, that is as Bhagavan, who is situated in the spiritual world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So there are no contradictions when we understand the reality, and that's why we need the help of realized devotees. So with this I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes.
What does it mean when they say jnanis understand what mentions speculation?
Yeah, because the process is aroha pantha. The process is neti neti. The process is neti neti. Neti means na iti is neti. Means they look into the matter and say, okay, this is matter, so this is not the absolute. Similarly, they look into the mind, they analyze the mind. Okay, the mind is changing, so this is not matter. In that way, in their life and in their practice, they distinguish between matter and spirit. So that is Aroha Pantha. And that's where speculation is there. And since they don't have any positive knowledge about the Supreme, and they have to use the mind in this process, what is right and what is wrong, so it is called speculative. Because since they have to use the mind means speculation. Whereas we also use the mind, but how do we use the mind? We use the mind based on teachings of Krishna. So that is not a speculation, that is considered as philosophical speculation. It is based on philosophy, it is proper. That is all. And it's not just philosophical speculation. We practice and there is revelation. One gets realization. So the process is different. One is Aroha Pantha, another one is Avaroha Pantha. Aroha Pantha, okay, is true, it's just going this way. Avaroha Pantha means Krishna is telling, okay, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We accept. So then our analysis, our philosophical speculation is after accepting the fact that the Supreme is Krishna or Narayan, or whichever forms of the Lord. So accepting the Supreme Personality of God. Okay? Yeah. Any other question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask only, how can one get out of this worldly conception? As Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that in order to enhance your spiritual growth, that path, one has to dig deep inside and know that, that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. But how can one?
Yeah, I got the question.
Feel that, that okay, we are not this body.
So our, the question is, how can we and go beyond the bodily conception of life?
Yeah.
Answer is, by the process of Bhakti Yoga. So it is not so much by analysis. For the sake of understanding, we can analyze. My body is changing, my mind is changing, so I am not the body, I am not the mind, so I am the spirit soul. So it is more intellectual, theoretical understanding. Realization will come by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and following four regularities. So good quality 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Chanting, follow regulative principles and engage in service. By that, one will get the realization that I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the spirit soul. It will come to you as you progress in your bhakti. So we had a focus on sadhana bhakti, devotion, service and practice. So 16 rounds means quality 16 rounds. Doing service, etc. Thank you.
Also wanted to ask, sir, if you go back in Krishna past times, there we see Suras and Asuras, they were fighting.
Yes.
Why did Asuras became the Asuras? Why did they come in? Why everything was not good like at that time? Why there was good and bad at that time? Is it Krishna's Leela, what's happening? Why did they even come at the beginning?
Yeah, all the time there is good and bad. Especially Krishna appeared towards the end of Dwapara Yuga. Already there are bad things. Satya Yuga is peaceful. All the legs of Dharma are intact in Satya Yuga. And in Treta Yuga, Lord Ram's time, one leg is broken. Dwapara Yuga, two legs are gone. So already there are problems in Dwapara Yuga.
It is because the
living entities are placed in different yugas according to one's karmic situation, according to one's own karma. In essence, we are in Kali Yuga because that's what we want. Why we are in a chaos? Because that is our karma, that's what we want. Why we are placed in a place where there are a lot of sense gratification? Because that's what we want. One can ask, why am I not born in the Satya Yuga where everything is clear? Well, that's not, we didn't want that. So according to our karmic situation, we are placed in this situation. Why there are suras and asuras that time? Yes, because the living entities, they have their own desire to fulfill. So they are placed in the body of asura or asura. It's because of them, it's not because of Krishna. Okay. So we are all in our own position because of us. It's not because of anyone else.
What's to make when this to go back to
that? Yes, that is the solution. That's all. There is no other solution. Material world means problems. Dukkhalema shaya. There's no point in complaining, you know, jumping into the water and saying, oh, I'm getting wet. If you jump into the water, you'll get wet. So what can we do? So that's if you want to try ourselves, okay, get on a boat. So that is devotional service. Okay? Hare Krishna.
We are surrounded by material maya and we intelligence is saying we need to get out.
Okay? Yes.
And mind says, look at that. We are surrounded around maya and we get entangled.
Solution is one and the same. Do devotional service. Whatever mind is saying, chance it in runs. Whatever mind is saying, do some service. Read books, attend classes. Whatever mind will tell me anything, use your intelligence and act. Mind will try to convince you. Other side is better. Always. Even after 10 years or so, same thing will be. Mind will start telling different things. If you try to listen to that, it's a problem. Because that is the active, that is the function of the mind.
Is it possible that one can 100% be surrendered having staying around the maya?
Yes. Yes, there are devotees who are doing that. So we had to improve. It is possible, of course. There are so many examples. So what we are reading, these prayers, and so many examples in Bhagavad and so many examples in life who are dedicated completely to Krishna. So we had to take our step. We cannot look into others. We had to take our steps. Our steps have to be clear. Okay. Thank you. Kandashim Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.